You are all ready? Obviously, I wasn't. Okay, let me sneak through here. Don't want to step on any fingers. Oh! Hey, what's up? You guys squeeze in? You got enough room? Up.
Hi
there. Eden, how are you? Hi. You know what? What is 2 weeks from today? Anybody know? Christmas Eve is 2 weeks from today. Anybody seen something like this come to your house?
Yeah.
Yeah? You haven't seen a Christmas catalog?
Oh, yeah. We have.
You have? Well, when I was your age, we had this thing called Sears and Roebuck. Yeah. Sears. You ever heard of Sears? Yeah. They're a store. Yeah. That's why they're going closed. That's why they're going broke. Right? They haven't kept up with the times and changed when they needed to change. But they used to send out a big book like that picture up there called the Sears. It was called the Wish Book. And it was like this thick, and half of it was toys. And so when it would come to my house, what I would do is I would kind of look through all the toys or the electronics and find stuff that I liked. Do you do that too? And to get some stuff. Yeah, see, my grandsons went through here and they circled the things that they wanted. And then, did you do too? And then they leave it open like this. I used to do that too. I'd leave it open to the page that I wanted my mom and dad to see. I try to do that with my wife now. I really would like a horse. So I leave like horse sale catalogs open on the table. Guess what? Hasn't worked. Yeah, so that was called a wish book. But you know what? We have something better than a wish book. Do you know what it is?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's right. We have something called the promise book. And in this book are all kinds of promises that God has for us, that he wants us to understand and to know that he's always looking out for us and that he loves us. In fact, in the Psalms, it says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you think that he means he's going to give you every toy you want? No, because if we delight or we take pleasure in the Lord, that means we're going to love the same things that he loves. What do you think? What are some things you think Jesus loves?
Us.
Us, okay.
Others.
Other people. Poor people. What's that? Yeah. So anything that he loves, he wants us to love. And when we do that, then he will take care of everything that we need. That's what he promises us. We will get everything that we need, not everything that we want. So you know what, when it comes to Jesus, I'm glad I don't have to have a wish book. I have a promise book. And so you need to make sure that you take some time to have mom and dad read your promise book to you, or that you can read it at times as well, so you know what God has in store for you, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and especially in this time when as children we head into a season where there's so many things that we want, we pray that you would help us and give us our heart's desire, that we would follow you and cherish the things that you cherish and love, that we might please you and you'll look after us. We thank you again for each and every child here. We thank you for the most important child, your son Jesus, who came to earth as a baby to live among us and walk among us so he would get to know us. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Walk, 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 walk. Off with Miss Melissa. Kids Connect. Oh! I just tore my wish book. Now I'm not going to get that new troll doll I wanted. We continue in this season, this Advent season. Our series has been called Open Doors This Christmas, and it is about opening the door of our heart to all the things that God has for us. And the core of this message comes from some work by a guy called David Maines, who writes 40-day adventures for churches and for people to do their like Bible studies that you can do over 40 days, just like Jesus went into the desert for 40 days. And so most of this comes from some work that he had done on something called the Season of Wonder. How many of you have seen the TV commercials for like Publishers Clearing House, where they come to somebody's house with a van load of people and cameras, and they go ring the doorbell, and somebody comes out of the shower with their hair in curlers and a towel wrapped around them, hoping to get a $1 million check. It's life-changing. It's a life-changing experience in two ways. One, because you end up getting your picture plastered all over with curlers in your hair and your bathrobe or whatever, but also because you have the opportunity to get, you know, in this case, $10 million if you buy 5 magazine subscriptions and all those kind of things. In our story today in Luke chapter 1, I want you to, if you have your Bibles, turn on your phones, whatever it might be, turn there if you would, because what we see is a life-changing experience for a young teenage girl from Nazareth called Mary. In this passage, beginning with verse 26, we find this angel Gabriel coming to her with a message. And understand this morning, if you would. The story of Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel is another example of how simply opening the door of our heart can provide a life-changing event. Just being willing can bring us many blessings. This thing that happens to Mary is something that just rocks her at her very core, at her young heart. She doesn't have any idea. She's not prepared for this. She's not aware that it's going to happen. But this messenger comes to her, and he doesn't have a $1 million check. But what he does have is a place for her, a leading role in the redemption of mankind. Again, she's totally unprepared and unaware that this is about to happen. But the angel comes to her, and this is what he says. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." And Mary's response is, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Well, last week I told you that, you know, a teenage pregnancy is not as shocking as it used to be, either 2,000 years ago or even 20 or 30 years ago. Studies show today that 50 to 60%, depending on the source, 50 to 60% of all babies born today are born outside of marriage. And so for us, when we read this story, we don't see it maybe as such a big deal. But in Mary's day, it was far from the norm. In those days, she lived in a country that was under constant oppression from Rome, but also in her culture, this idea of being pregnant, not being married, could have resulted in a death penalty. She could have been stoned to death for what's happening to her. But she didn't panic. She didn't go crazy. She didn't paint the doomsday scenario. Oh, woe is me. She wasn't one of those dill pickle Christians, those Eeyore Christians that we talked about. She has a completely different response. She opens up her heart to God's plan. And in the process of opening up her heart to God's plan, as crazy as it may have been, she found herself to be completely blessed. Not just for a season, but for all eternity, Mary's name has found favor. See, Mary didn't look at what God was doing and say, "Well, that's impossible." She thought, God is not the God of the impossible. God is the God of possible. The angel told her that nothing is impossible with God. And so when Mary opened the door to her heart to God, she found herself smack dab in the middle of eternity. Again, she is right core in the part of God's plan for redemption of all mankind. This Gabriel that comes and tells her this is not just some boy that she grew up with next door. It's not some guy that she had gone to school or to church with. This Gabriel is a messenger from God, and he brings with him God's message and a plan of heaven. One of the things that the more I study and the more I try to understand about God, I am convinced that the surprises and plans that he has for us are not something that we should be afraid of. I know as a pastor, you know, people come to me and they go, "Hey, you know what? I feel like God is calling me to be a missionary, but I'm afraid he's going to send me to Africa, or he's going to send me to Ethiopia or some crazy place." And we shouldn't be afraid. No matter how unexpected or how unusual the circumstances may be, we shouldn't be afraid of what God is asking us to do. But what is key is that he probably won't send us all an angel like Gabriel. God probably speaks to us more through everyday life and everyday occurrences than he does through the supernatural. And so our problem is that we're not very good at recognizing that. We are so busy, we're so concerned with other things that we miss out and fail to participate because we didn't hear God speaking to us. So during this Advent season, my prayer for you is that as we have this time of preparing for the coming of the Lord, is that you prepare your hearts. Prepare to open the door of your heart to God's plans, whatever they may be. And whatever they may be, we shouldn't be surprised to remember or to understand that it all begins with love. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is the gift of God's love come down from heaven for each and every one of us. And so everything that he does begins with love. It's as if he's telling all of us we are highly favored. In other words, when he told Mary that, he said, look, Mary, I'm on your side. Look, Mary, I love you and I care for you. And that's what he speaks to each of us today through his son, Jesus Christ. God used an angelic messenger to bring a message of hope to Mary, but he may not again do so with us. Today, and again, when we think of God speaking to us, I want you to imagine something very simple, something that maybe we all take for granted this time of year. I want you to begin to think of maybe a Christmas card as God's way of speaking to you. God's way of trying to bring his message of hope and love to you or through you to someone who needs to hear an encouraging word. Somebody who needs to know that there is somebody else out there who cares for them. Christmas is not always a pleasant time. I imagine that there are people this morning, even here in this worship service, that are actually dreading Christmas. Because maybe the Christmas that they grew up with isn't the Christmas of Norman Rockwell, what we picture, you know, the happy days and celebration. Maybe their Christmas is of a drunken father. Or maybe their Christmas is of family feuds. As they gathered around the table to eat or to open gifts, there was always this big conflict going on. For some people, Christmas might be a reminder of a bitter and ugly divorce or the loss of a loved one, a parent, or a child. Maybe that people are just feeling alone and isolated. So Christmas is not always a joyful time. And so God may use us as a messenger of hope to somebody that needs to hear that message. And again, it may be just something as simple as a Christmas card that you either receive or one that you send. It could be a very important message of love and hope. So I want you to begin to think of your Christmas cards in a whole new way this Christmas. Begin to think of them as, again, a piece of a tool that God uses us to allow to convey his message to other people. So how do we do that? I mean, we've done Christmas cards forever, but understand that 95% of Americans will send out Christmas cards this year. And the average home will receive around 60 cards. So if we think of how we could use those tools, they can be an amazing part of our ministry to other people. I probably know how some of you feel about Christmas cards. Probably some of you right now are dreading. You go to the mailbox and you get Christmas cards and you go, ah. And you know why? Because your Christmas cards are still sitting on the table waiting to be addressed and signed and mailed out. If you've already got your Christmas cards out, you love going to the mailbox and getting Christmas cards because you've already done your duty and you've taken care of those kind of things. You probably think of it as something very fun compared to something that is a task or duty. The rest of us, like me, for example, where's my wife? She needs to catch some of this blame. She hasn't got out our Christmas cards yet. So we've procrastinated and we find them as we come in. We're like, we got to get these done. Today, I want you to look at your Christmas cards as a means by which God reveals his plans for you. How can God use me? Those who have taken the time already to send you a card, and hopefully they've written more than just their name in there and signed it and put it in maybe they're writing to you or maybe they're sending you a Christmas card because God put you on their heart. Maybe there's a reason for the card that you've got. And just think about this is really cool, is that God is using the U.S. postal system to deliver messages of hope each and every day. He's using the government to do just that. Because God, our Heavenly Father, has planted your name on somebody's heart. This month you're going to receive, again, countless cards from people who love you. And hopefully, again, if they're being intentional, they've done more than just write their name in there. Maybe some of them will have those, we call them brag rags. Oh, you guys are laughing because you did them, didn't you? The two-page, single-spaced, front and back, hey, look, here's what we did this year, bet you can't do better than that kind of deal that we send out. Hopefully they've sent more than those, you know, thinking that that might be personal. But try to see your Christmas cards as a way to spread hope and joy this year. Think of who they're from. Think of who you're sending them to. Maybe the people that you're sending cards to, you've shared tears and you've shared joy with. Some may be just people who you've become acquaintances with. But begin to think of your Christmas cards as something more than just some task or duty that you have to do. Maybe even through the Christmas cards that you send, somebody will get the message that God highly favors them, that they are loved, and that they are blessed as a child of God. So if God puts it on your heart to send somebody a card, be thinking about why. Be thinking about what it is that he wants you to convey at that time. So please be intentional in what we're doing. When God drops plans at your doorstep or invites you to do something, it usually revolves around his love for you. Think of Abraham, discovered this way back in Genesis. Love is more than a one-way street with God. He wants us to love him back. He wants us to be a blessing to other people as he has blessed us. Mary was told that she would be a blessing for eternity. She's blessed to have the Son of God, but she is going to be a blessing to all women down the road. And so this is God's way of reaching out. He wants us to be a blessing to somebody else as we have been blessed. And so he gives us again, as we heard in the Advent candle lighting, he gives us the privilege of sharing in his plan of redemption for mankind. So when he opens up that door to your heart, please be alert and be listening to what's going on. Hopefully he will lay on your heart somebody who is struggling this Christmas. Maybe again, a divorce. Maybe they've lost a loved one recently. Whatever it might be, God wants you to be a part of reaching out to them this Christmas. God's message is coming through you. Well, what about maybe somebody who you just met? They don't know you very well, but for some reason they sent you a Christmas card. What's our usual first response when we get a Christmas card from somebody unexpected? How many of you go, now I got to send them a card? Anybody? Keep lists, tally, checklist, make sure, yeah. Maybe they sent you a card because they're hurting, and when they came across you and they got to know you, they thought, wow, there's something different about this person. There is something different about this person. I just want to get to know them better. See, we know what that difference is. We know that that difference is your genuine, authentic faith in Jesus Christ. They may not recognize it yet, but what they've done is they've opened the door for you to share that faith with them. Mary could have shut the door in Gabriel's face and said, no way. She could have made all kinds of excuses about what she was going to do. But she didn't. She just took time to recognize that this was the handiwork of God, and she responded accordingly. So how will you respond this Christmas when God knocks at your heart? When he knocks at the door of your heart, you have a choice. You can say, no, I'm too busy, it's inconvenient, I don't like that person, I can't believe they sent me a card, whatever it might be. Mary was just the opposite. No excuses, no reasons why she couldn't do it. She said, I am the Lord's servant, let it be as you say. She opened her heart and made it acceptable to God's plan. The degree to which we respond to God is going to determine how much we are blessed this Christmas. If we respond as Mary does, then we will be tremendously blessed. She was faithful. That's kind of the big word. She was faithful to do what she was called to do. She was humbled. Mary didn't go, somebody else is probably much more qualified to be the mother of the Son of God. I'm not, I'm just Mary. I'm a teenager. Maybe Mariah could have done it. She's already had 5 kids. She would be much better at this. When God calls you to reach out to somebody, put somebody on your heart, it'd be easy to go, I don't have time today. Maybe somebody else is better qualified to share the message of hope with that person. Maybe somebody else is better qualified to help meet their needs. But if we're faithful, like Mary, we'll listen, we'll be determined, and will be faithful to carry out God's plans. So, how do we do this? How do we make it all happen? Well, I'm going to give you four things here today that I want you to kind of pay attention to and be intentional this Christmas about doing. And the first one is, after getting your mail and before you open any of those Christmas cards, why don't you say a little prayer over your Christmas cards? Why don't you do something like this? Like, Lord, I know you're always at work, even when I don't recognize it. Please open my heart so that I may be aware of what you're trying to say to me through these Christmas cards today. Help me to see who it is that is in need in a real and special way. Pray over those cards and ask God to just reveal what is the purpose or what is the meaning or what can I do about this card. With your family, the second thing with your family at night, at dinner each night, maybe sort through the cards and the letters that you get and discuss them in your family. Maybe if you have children, maybe they know something about the family that you don't know. Maybe they know there's something going on. If they send a photo, how many of you send photo cards? Okay. If you get a photo card from somebody or a picture, see if you can name all the people in the picture. Identify them. Think of things that may have happened during the year. How has God worked in their lives? What do you see God doing in their lives? Or what need do they have that you can discern what's going on? And then as you're sitting around with your family that night, again, pray for those families that have sent you a card, that God might give them hope and encouragement to what's going on in their world. The third thing is take a fresh look again at the significance of sending cards. Again, I know for too many people, we just send cards because we've always sent cards. How many of you have a list of people you're going to send cards to already? Yep, there's a few, mostly the women raising their hands. We have a list every year that we know we're going to send Christmas cards to. And then when we get the occasional card from somebody that's not on our list, we add those people to our list for the next year. But begin to look at your Christmas cards and be a little bit more intentional. Don't send cards just to send cards. Have a purpose and a meaning behind them. Write more than just your name in that card. Maybe a short message of hope, especially if you know they're going through something at this time of year. If it takes, put on your favorite Christmas music, get a pot of tea or a pot of coffee, whatever it might be, and then sit down and pray over your cards before you begin to fill them out and say, all right, God, help me to use these cards to share the love of Jesus with somebody tonight or today, whatever it is that you're doing. Now, finally, the fourth thing I want you to think about today is kind of goes back to last week's message about opening up your home to friends and strangers. And that's maybe the idea of keeping a guest book. Keep a guest book at your house for people who come to your home during the holiday season. People you've invited or people who just drop by, have them sign in. And then at the end of the season, maybe you can sit down again and go over that list and go, oh, now I see why this person was brought into my life at this time. Now I understand what they were doing here. Now I understand why you put us in contact. How did the Lord get your attention concerning that person during the course of the holiday season? Did they share a need with you that maybe you can help take care of or know somebody that might be able to help them? Did they share a personal challenge? Was there something going on in their life that they were struggling with? Maybe it was something they said that they didn't even realize that expressed a need to you. You know, they didn't come with the intention of laying out their problems to you, but something that came up in the course of a conversation that shared, there's a problem. Maybe sit down again after you look, is there a way that I can help these people through this time? So in the midst of the season, all these things are going on. Maybe even you're sitting down to do your Christmas cards and you get a knock at your door. Hopefully you're prepared if it is Publishers Clearing House with a $1 million check for you. But if not, that's all right. Don't worry about what condition your home is in. I shared that with you last week. And when I got home, I got kind of scolded. My wife said, you know, I'm not going to just leave my house go. If I know somebody's coming over, we're going to pick it up and it's going to be nice. I said, well, why don't you just let it go and enjoy the moment for a while? And she goes, okay, I'll do that if you promise not to greet people dressed like this. So we had to make a deal that I wouldn't wear my dress shoes and socks and shorts and a t-shirt to answer the door if she let things go a little bit at the house. Begin to think this morning. I want you to think about past the supernatural. This Christmas season, don't always look for God in the miraculous and the marvelous. God doesn't just speak to us through huge miracles or things that just make us go Shazam or wow. God can speak to us in the tiniest of ways. All we have to do is go back to chapter 19 of the book of 1 Kings, and we look at the story of Elijah as he runs from Ahab and Jezebel. He finds himself in a cave on Mount Horeb, and God says, look, I'm going to be passing by. And so Elijah's in the cave, and a great wind comes and tears the mountains apart and shakes the rocks, and God's not there. And then comes a great earthquake, and yet Elijah didn't find God in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake came a fire. Still no God. And then all of a sudden there came a whisper. God was in the whisper. I want you to think that maybe this season, this Christmas card that you send might be the very whisper from God that will change somebody's life, not only here on earth, but for eternity. Please don't take something this simple for granted. Use it as a tool to share God's hope and love. Open up the heart, open up your heart to the possibility that one of the cards you receive this year is a message from God for you, or to let you know that someone needs to hear from him. And he's asking you to deliver that message of hope and love. Open up your hearts. You may be just the person that changes somebody else's life for eternity. Let's pray. But Father, we love you, and we thank you that we can be here today. We know that around the world today, as we prepare for this holiday season and this Christmas time, we know that our brothers and sisters around the world may be struggling to be able to openly share Christmas without having to fear for their life. And so we are so thankful that we live here where we can openly worship and celebrate the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be intentional this season, to look at every opportunity that we have over the next 2 weeks to reach somebody and share the message of hope and love that you have through us with your Son, Jesus Christ. In our world today, there are many people hurting. They feel alone. They feel isolated and lost. And we know that you are using us to reach out to them. Help us again not to just think of our Christmas cards, but our home as a place of encouragement and love. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know this love of Jesus, that they don't understand that each and every one of us is a sinner who needed this plan of redemption that began with Mary and Joseph through their Son, Jesus Christ, who was born for the Savior of the world. We pray that you would speak to their heart today. If they need to know more about why Jesus came, that they would turn to their neighbor and ask if they could help, or to come forward in a moment when we sing, that we can share with them this love of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would watch over us and bless us. We thank you for the church family that we have that takes this message of sharing Jesus with others, not for granted, but as part of our mission field. And I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't belong to our church family officially, that they want to be a member, to be a part of our family, we ask that you would speak to their hearts. Maybe today is the day they come forward and ask to be a part of this church family. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray that you would watch over us and keep us in all that we say and do, that you would be glorified and honored. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.